Man. New, where are you?
Go ahead, go.
It's on?
It's
Yeah, go.
recording already.
Oh, all right. In the process of Yeshua, which begins Yeshua Yaakov, yes, and Guri Oviv, he settled back in his father's home, Eretz Canaan. Eile Toldos Yaakov. These are the Toldos Yaakov Yosef. Eile Toldos Yaakov Yosef. Well, from Bereisha, Miketz, Vayigash, Vayichi. These four parshiyos deal with Esav, I mean, with Yosef as the main character, and revolves all around him and his relationship with Yaakov. We understand it very clearly from where the pasuk says, Vayichi Yaakov, yes, Mitzrayim. And the word Vayichi adds up to 34. Yud is 20, Chesed is 28, and 6 is 34, the vav. And the Mefarshim say that the whole life of Yaakov centered around Yosef. First 17 years that he had Yosef, from 91, when he was born, 91 years old, until they sold him, for 17 years. And the 17 years that he lived in Mitzrayim, that was his life. Vayechi Yaakov was the life of Yosef. And the Medrash brings that Kol Torosoi he gave over to Yosef. He looked exactly, Yosef looked exactly like Yaakov. And the Medrash brings about 15 different things that exactly what happened to Yaakov, happened to Yosef, and so forth. I can't go through all of them, it'll take the whole time. But constantly the Medrash brings all these different comparisons and so forth with Yaakov and Yosef. So we see that. This whole till the end of Bereishis now, this is Toldos Yaakov Yosef, and it says Eile Toldos, Eile's Poishel HaRishonim. We know it says Eile, V'Eile means continue like Ve'Eile HaMishpotim, and when it says Eile, the Rafaim or the function always asks, what is the Eile? What is it cutting off? So I like to start. I always like to start Vayeshev. With what I just said about the whole Sefer Bereishis now to the end, or Yosef, with the famous story that's told about the Vilna Magid. You should get a picture of what we have to understand a little bit and bear in mind when we go through these parshiyos, that we cannot go what we see. Superficially, what we think, et cetera, and put our own logic and reasoning here, it's above us. And the story is told, famous, that in the Volozhiner Yeshiva, in the 1850s or so, there was a tremendous machlokes came up, and the Yeshiva split 50-50, actually. We have to Talmidim. On one side, you have to tell me on the other side. Always the machlokes. The one head of the yeshiva was the Netziv, the Torah Yeshiva Yehuda Berlin. And the other one was the Beis HaLevi, Yosef Dov Soloveitchik. The Netziv was a son-in-law of Reb Yitzchok Volozhiner, an einikel of Chaim Volozhiner, the Netziv. And he was a grandson. And the Beis HaLevi was also related, the other side, also through to the Chaim Volozhiner. They both ran the yeshiva. However, they had two different ways of learning, two different methods of study, and what you call the type of explaining and so forth, learning Torah. The Netziv was more in the sense of Pashtus, in simplicity and understanding, and Bikiyus. As you see, a Sefer on Chumash and so forth, and even Hori HaSoda and the Sefer on Halacha. It's like more understanding the Inyan and going further and so forth and gathering a tremendous amount of knowledge. The Beis HaLevi, on the other hand, was more in the depth on the spot. You stand on a sugya for weeks and so forth and dig out different concepts and sforos and putting together different thoughts and ideas, different kinds of more pluralistic in that particular sense in a sforo-digging fashion of brisker sforo and so forth that started with the Beis HaLevi. And the yeshiva seemed to divide itself. Some wanted this, some wanted that. And it became up as a whole machlokes over there, what to do. And they had to make up their mind who's the Rosh Yeshiva, who's in charge, and how's the Yeshiva going to run, and whose Aegis is it going to be, who's the Balabos. So they called the Din Torah. Called the Din Torah. And the three Rabbonim of the Din Torah, one was Rav Dov Tevel, who was the first Talmidim of Rav Chaim Volozhiner here. He wrote the Sefer Nachlas Dovid above a Kamba of Tzion. I don't know if you know the famous Dov Tevel, Goyin Olam. And the second one, I forgot already the name already, the second one. And the third one was the Vilna Magid. At that time, the Vilna Magid, Yossele Magid, the famous Vilna Magid at that time in 1850. And it was also a Goyin, and it was a tremendous Magid. And these three people, they put together, they should sit down here with both sides and decide once and for all, one has to run the yeshiva. And that's it, can't be two, because of two machlokes. So when they came to sit down by the Din Torah, before they started, the Vilna Magid got up, and with tears in his eyes, he said, "Oi, today by me is Parshas Vayeshev, Vayeshev." They thought he was nuts, because they were there by Shabbos Bereishis. They were there when they came after Sukkot, for this month, in order to start and so forth. What is he saying over here? So he looked at them and he says, "Look," he says, "there's I'm a Magid. A Magid has a derech." He said, "Drash in your darshan. My derech is that every parasha, I'm going to pick out the good man and the bad man, and I make differences and I bring out different points, mshalim, and stories and ideas and thoughts, and you bring out who's right, who's wrong. By every parasha from Bereishis, Noach, Lech Lecha, Vayera, and so forth, I can pick out everyone who we have: Yaakov and Esau, Lavan, Avraham, and then Lot, etc., etc." And then Zdoim is always picking out the good and the bad where you can do it. Come to Parshas Vayeshev, he says, "Oh, Yosef and the Shiftei Kor, Yosef and the brothers, all tzaddikim and so forth. Who's right? Who's wrong? I can't. I'm stuck. I don't know what to do. I can't do anything. What can you do over here? You have to understand that you're not dealing over here with bad and good. You're dealing with tzaddikim, if they call it, the shvatim of the avos." He said, "Who are you dealing with over here?" He said, "I come to the Voloshiner Yeshiva. How can I make them a tziv?" He says, "And the Beis HaLevi. How could I? What could I? How could I say? What could I do? What could we? How could we make a decision over here? What could we do?" And he pushes. He says, "I don't know. I don't know what to do." But finally, they persuaded him to sit down, to calm down, and let's hear what they say. We have to come to some sort of a, in order to mana shalom, to come to some sort of an agreement and so forth. But this is the point that he brought out. I wanted to bring out. And understanding Vayeshev, we should know that it's not Porsche. You can't say, Yeshev talk Lashon Hara, he said this, and what's Lashon Hara? It's not such a simple thing. Chofetz Chaim asked the question of it, how did Yeshev speak Lashon Hara? He said, "What was Lashon Hara?" We'll soon talk about the Chofetz Chaim, what he says. And you see that when you see what the points are over here, that it's not a surface matter. That's them bringing out. All these parashiyos over here, the manipulations of what Yosef did, and the cheshbonos that he had, the thoughts and ideas, and bringing up how to deal with the brothers, not to get them to regret, etc., etc. It's not a simple matter. This is mamish kodesh kadoshim in that sense, as we say, shir hashirim is kodesh kadoshim. It's not so. Therefore, you have to be very careful that you can't just simply interpret. He was bad. He was good. He talked Lashon Hara. He got punished. Not just to push the thing over here, not a simple thing. Just to end the story over there, they came to the conclusion, when they heard everything, that they had no choice But the Netziv is the closer relative. He's the grandson-in-law of Chaim Volozhiner, the son-in-law of Avitzchok Volozhiner. He's Rosh Hashim. I mean, he has the Yerusha. He had the Yerusha in that sense, and the Beis HaLevi can't be Rosh Hashiva. That he has to go according to what he wants to be Rosh Hashiva, according to the Beis HaLevi, according to the Netziv. And that was the time that the Beis HaLevi said he gave his makabo. He accepted it, and he stood up and he said, "Fine." So he's going. He had to leave, and that's when he went to Slutsk. And he became the Rav in Slutsk, and from there later he went to Brisk and so forth. After the few years when they threw him out of Slutsk. The whole story, I don't want to go into that now. But they went to Slutsk. So to bring out the point, after he left and so forth, and the yeshiva centralized and so forth under the Netziv, those Talmidim that really wanted the Beis HaLevi type of learning and so forth, they came and tied him to make a Volozhin in Slutsk. To build a branch or to build a yeshiva. And he said, Bishum oifen not. Not to build a yeshiva, he said. He said, it'll harm the concept of a Volozhiner yeshiva. That's not what I'm here for, he says. We're not here to destroy a yeshiva or to go competition and to take away the Talmidim and so forth in a different way. Bishum oifen not. And from that started the Yesod of Brisk, that he never made a yeshiva. But he in Slutsk, he had what he called an open house, and he would give a shiur. He would give a shiur, let's say every 2 or 3 days a week. Whoever wanted to come to the house to hear a shiur, who the shiur? Want to come, come. And that started that particular thing. In fact, the Ragichover Goyen was 13 years old. And when he was in Slutsk at that time, after the Beis HaLevi, and he came to the Beis HaLevi, they wanted to hear some shiurim. He came to the Ragichov Goyen, 13 years old, new shas heard. When he came there, he looked at him, and the Beis HaLevi looked at him, and he said, "Who kid, mamish, bar mitzvah?" And he said, "What do you know?" I said, "What could I ask you?" So the Ragichov said, "Half shas." He said, "Which half?" He said, "Any half." That's what he answered, "Any half." And sure enough, the Beis HaLevi was shocked that he knew Shas, and he put him to learn at Bechavrusa with his son of Chaim Briska. Now the Ragichov learned for a whole year together Bechavrusa with the Chaim Briska by the Beis HaLevi, but no yeshiva, and that remained by Chaim Briska when he went to Brisk. Also no yeshiva, mere Kamenitz. Some of my Rebbe from Kamenitz told me that the used to send some of the best Talmidim to go for half a year to sit and listen to shiurim in the house over there by the Brisker Rav, and they stayed in various places. And but no yeshiva or nothing came in, or there's no tuition. Or just go and come in yeshiva, and they talked learning with him, and that's it. That's how it was. They used to come, and that's a revival did the same thing, and an Eretz Yisrael did the same thing too. No yeshiva. You want to harm any other yeshiva. Interesting point. So, but we see from here, the point I want to bring out is that the approach that we have to take to Parshas Vayeshev. So now that we know the approach, let's start. First of all, it says, Eilat Toldos Yaakov Yosef. What's that Eilat Toldos? What is it knocking off? That the Eilat adds on to previous. Eilat knocks off the previous. What previous are we knocking off over here? The Chaim, or the Porsche Master Kashi over here, in that sense. Some say that it refers to the previous Parsha when it says all the Alufim of Esau, Aluf Nachas, Aluf this, Aluf that, all the kings is over that came up from Esau, and Eilat told us, you say that's different than them. That's all going to show you. Now we're coming to the tzaddikim. That's one pshat that's brought down. Another pshat that I wanted to say that I found, Takya, most of it in the Erechaim HaKodesh, and what I added on to it also, is the pshat is Eilat Toldos Yaakov Yosef. Is that actually there was a whole discussion over here, it seems, between Yaakov and Rivka. But Rivka said to Yaakov, "Alaikin losko b'ni. Don't worry, you're not going to be cursed. How did she know you're not going to be cursed? But you're not going to be cursed. I spoke about, you remember last time in different. So the Targum brings over there Baruch HaKodesh. The Nevius. She had Nevius and Baruch HaKodesh. The Targum says that there would not be any clothes. And the Nevius constituted of the sense of Alai. He said, the clothes of you are going to be Alai. Alai stands for Esav, Lavan, and Yosef. Those are the sufferings that you have to go through. Alai, Kilosko, Bini. Yeah? So what happened? But Yaakov didn't know. He thought that she said Alai, and this means something. He felt that there was an Esav, Lavan. He didn't know what that Yud stands for. When it came to Dina, the Maisa Dina, Yaakov thought that, maybe he was Yotze already. Dina Dalid Yud Nun, by Dina, there's a Yud. He said, Alai, Esav, Lavan, Dina. Yud represents Dina. So it says over here, Vayeshev Yaakov, yes, Uri Ovid, Beres Kenan, this introductory sentence. Vayeshev, what is Vayeshev? The Pasuk says, Bikesh Yaakov, Vayeshev the Shalva. He wanted to sit peaceful already because he thought he was Yotze with his sword. He was Yotze with his Yisurim, with his tests that he had. Esav, Lavan, and Dina. He went through plenty already. Plenty throughout his life. He's 100 years old already. When he came home, he was 100 years old. He went through plenty already in that. However, Kofatzolo, jumped up to look. It's like Kofatzolo expression that all of a sudden, Kofatzolo. And Bikesh, Tavida, you want to sit like this or that? No. What's the pshat? Because Yaakov, they said, what are you tiny? Yaakov, you're fooling yourself. If you want to say that what Olai, listen to the pshat. Olai means Esav, Lavan. That's the first letter of the word. Esav is Ayin, Lavan is a Lamed. Dino is the second letter of the word, not the first letter. If you want to go by second letters, then I'll tell you how to go by second letters. Second letters is going to affect Vayeshev. What is Vayeshev? The Vav is the second letter of Yosef. The Yud is the second letter of Dina. The Shin is the second letter of Esau. And the Vay is the second letter of Lavan. You're saying Dina? That means you want the second one to count. The second ice is Vayeshev. Immediately came the the anguish and the pain of Yosef. And told us Yosef, Ayla, why is it Ayla? Because that was worse than all the others. Than all the others. Worse than Esav, worse than Lavan, worse than Dina. It was 22 years of mourning and expecting Gehenim, as Rashi brings the Chazal. And one of the sons are gone, he goes to Gehenim and so forth. And Mamish, the biggest of suffering when he killed Yosef is fine, but there was a new good, the Ruruchnius. The Shekhinah came back, never was there before, the whole time. This was the biggest suffering also. Eilis, Poislis, the Rishonim. I said, Eilis destroys the previous sufferings that he had. The sufferings of Lavan, the sufferings of Esav, the sufferings of Dina are pale to the suffering of Yosef. Yeah, Yisrael, Ohav, es Yosef. And that suffering, that doesn't match to all that. That's Shat Eilat Poisel Solution. And the Yukon there, Chayim HaKodesh, that piece of what he says, the Poisel Solution, he says at that particular point what I'm saying. And I put the rest through my own on Olai and my Asia, so put the whole thing together. But the idea is Eilat Poisel Solution is that it knocks out the other Yisurim, sufferings of pain, trials and tribulations that Yaakov had, Yosef supersedes all of them, over them all. But now we can understand what it says over here. Another question that bothered me. It begins Vayeshev Yaakov, and Ela told us Yaakov. All of a sudden it says, the Yisrael Ohav es Yosef. What's this? Why all of a sudden switch from Yaakov to Yisrael? What's the switch? So first of all, I'm not going to go into it now, but maybe there's a Shem in Parshas Vayechi. Because in Parshas Vayechi, there's an Archaim HaKodesh, a very long Archaim HaKodesh, where he goes through all the places where it says Yankov and all the places where it says Yisrael. Why? And in general, I want to you can make a general comment on that to show the basic concept what he's bringing out is that the Yisroel was Kim Sarisa Menachim, that the higher level of Ruchnius and spirituality and the Toiv of Klal Yisrael as a unit is a Yisrael. Whenever we find this type of psukim over there, that you say you find the name Yisrael. When you find the concept of golus, of suffering, of poverty, of trials and tribulations and difficulties and different ways of materialistic life, you find Yankovic. This is briefly would cover 90% of what the Ephraim HaKodesh is bringing out between the two differences of Yaakov and Yisrael. And he goes to each, shows the different places and shows how they how it goes into line. So over here, the Yisrael, all of us, you know, he said, why is it called Yisrael? Because I said, the Medrash says over here, his Kol HaTorah Kula from Shem V'Yevi gave over to Yosef. Yosef was going to be the progenitor to go over to Klal Yisrael. He's going to take over. He gave him the Yisrael of the Yerusha. That's why the brothers were so angry. In fact, it was the Ruchnius, like anger on the part of the brothers. But he said, what was the Cheshbon of Yaakov talking? Why he was like the Moses and Shabbos? That a person should never choose one child over another, even a little hemdala, what do you call a little what do you call undershirt that he gave him, Ksenas Pasim, worth $2, whatever was over there, Shnei Sloim and so forth. Look what it cost. So you have to be careful with every child. That's a superficial type of understanding what Yaakov said over here. But by Yaakov, there was another cheshbon over here, not so simple. The Targum says, Targum over here is, he, why did he take Ben Zikunim who lie? Ben Zikunim, what does it mean Ben Zikunim? Born in old age. Yaakov was 91 when he had Yosef. After the 14 years, at the end when he said to love and I'm going home, after he had Yosef, 14 years. But I asked the question over there, what do you mean he was 91? Yisachon and Zvulun, as they all bring that there was like a year or two difference in every shaven. Not even that. They were born in 7 months. So especially Yisachon and Zvulun were 7 months younger than Yosef. What's that? Ben Zikunim. What's Ben Zikunim? Ben Zikunim means I have a kid at 30 years old, and at 60 I have another kid. That's Ben Zikunim. The 30-year difference. But what's the Ben Zikunim over here? They were mamash, they were not even a year apart. Where's the Ben Zikunim? So I wanted to say that could be there's a remez in the Torah to the pshat of the Targum, but he says it's Ben Zikunim Bar Hakim. Not Ben Zikunim means the son of my old age, but the son of Chochmah. Bar Hakim means a Chochmah. He was the Chochmah of all the children, of all the sons. And Yaakov had in mind, like you say over here, that you say what you have over here, what that this person has over here, cannot soifrim, tar b'chokhmah. He wanted to show the brothers that here you have the biggest chokhmah over here. Cannot soifrim, tar b'chokhmah. You should emulate, go after him also where he's doing that. The only toyis was, of course, that we say cannot soifrim, tar b'chokhmah. The jealousy of the soifrim of the chacham that he's a chacham, I want to be a chacham also. That's good. You become a chacham. But the idea of giving him a gift, and because of the gift, that's what hurt them. That sense. That giving the gift, as the Gemara says, that took him out of the realm of the ruchnius and put it to a gashmius and so forth, and that they couldn't. That there was a they felt upset, that there was more to it in that particular sense as far as the Ahava. Yosef looked exactly like Yankee. The Medrash brings 15 different things that happened to Yaakov, happened to Yosef. Prison and so forth, that, all mice over here, when he sold them, et cetera, all kinds of different things that happened. There's a Medrash over there. I'm going to go through the whole Medrash now. But so we see this connection between them. So it's interesting, the word zikunim in the Pasuk over here is Zayin Kuf Nun Yud Mem. The verb is missing. So really, without the kudos, it would read zikanim. With the vav is zikunim, without the vav is zikanim. Ein zokein, So I say the Targum got that remez, I want to say, that it says over here, ben zikunin, without the vav, is the word zikainim. And zokain, like the Chazal say, ein zokain, el mishikor chokma. So that's shot, ben zikunim, ben chokma. You see? And that's what they said, bar chakim. And the Targum Yodison, the Targum Munkulis, and so forth. That but that over here, ben zikunim, in that particular sense. Interesting point. I think that's a good remez from the Pasuk itself to substantiate to the perish of the Targum over here, Targum over here, that they say Pshat in that it's a lotion of Bar Hakim. The Chatz of Chochum, and not the answer, because he really wasn't Ben Zakunim. Well, in fact, the Rashbam always learns Poshe. So how's the Rashbam going to answer that? How's he going to answer? Why is he Ben Zakunim? So it seems it bothered the Rashbam. I looked at the Rashbam and talked about the Rashbam, and he comes up with an in his way, in his inimitable fashion, what he says, Pshat, why is he Ben Zakunim? He said, I'll tell you, I'll read you the Rashbam over here. An interesting point over here, where he says so Rashbam says, why? Ki achrein hoya. He was the last one. Acha asa bonim. He was the 11th one. So he's leading the last one. That's what he means, Ben Zakunim. So the last one is like the closest, like the what you call, like you say, the like when you make a chasana and you have the last child that you give off. You're over the last child. What?
The Zinka.
The Vazinka. Yeah. He was like, so the last one, Binyamin. So Rashbam Torah, he says that. Abu Binyamin says, Lo Noilad. After 9 years later, Binyamin was born. On the way home, already he was 100 years old. 9 years later, that's when he had Binyamin Menachel died. So already, so Yosef was espanced, meaning he was already the Ben Zakunim. He can't take that away from him already. That's why Binyamin was called Hayelad Zakunim. See, but he was the Ben Zakunim, because for 9 years he had that title. He was there already. That's how the Rashbam gets out of it, so to speak, in the kingdom of Ben Zakunim. We say over here, this concept of Ben Zakunim over here. The Harbe says, Kaidim he says, Shadoilat, Binyom before Binyom was born. It's Hoyle Ben Zakunim, the Hishkalo Yahweh. That's what he loved him, and so that remained. That was the idea. That's how Rashbam wants to answer the shot of Ben Zakunim. But with the Targum, we understand it very well. What's the concept of Ben Zakunim in that particular sense? But so, in order to get the drift of what we're leading into over here, the concept of Yosef and the brothers, is to understand, for example, it's interesting about Baraturim over here that also is very questionable. Many people ask me this. The Baraturim said that word Zakunim, as I said, is written Zayin Kuf Nun Yud Mem. So we said it stands for Zroyim, part of Mishnayis. Zroyim is one Seder, Kotshim, Noshim, Yeshuais, which refers to Nezikin, and Mayed. Five Sidorim of the Mishnayis that was clear with Yaakov and Yosef given over Torah Misinai. But he asked me the question, where's Taharos? Baruch Hu doesn't mention Taharos. Where's Taharos? There's no sign of it. Okay, in the Losh Zayin Kuf Nun Yud Mem doesn't include Taharos. Only five. And Taki doesn't mention Taharos. My son will always ask me that. Well, I give a couple of answers. They like the answer or not? I wrote. But one answer I wanted to say is that, as I told you, it says Zakunim. Why do you read it Zakunim? Because of the Nekuda. Without the Nekuda, you'd have to put the Vav. So the Nekuda takes the place of the Vav. So it's like a, like you call, you go Bosa Ksiv or Bosa Kri. The written is without a Vav. The reading is like you read it with a Vav. You read it Zakunim. So I said, if you read it Vitavav, it makes Vitaros. The Vop stands for Vitaris, Antares. Of course, Taurus was the last one. Vitaurus, Antaurus. That's one answer I wanted to give. Okay, whatever it's worth. And another one I was thinking of, another answer, which is a little, because if you take the word Zakenim and word Zakunim, Zayin, Kuf, Nun, Yud, Mem, you could say also Zroyim, Kochim, and the Nun could stand for two. Nun could stand for Noshim and the Zikim. The Seder of Noshim is Nun, and the Seder of Nezikin is a Nun. So you covered four. Then you have a Yud Mem left. So the Mem is Moyed, and the Yud will stand for Taurus. All right, what does Yud stand for Taurus? What's Yud Taurus? What word do we have for that? With the Yud itself, I want to say that's the Yisoid of Kedusha with Tahara. That's the Yisoid. Because, as the Gemara says, you can't, Dava should be Kedusha, you have to have at least Yud. You must have at least 10. The Mason minimum is Yud. The Yisoid of Yud stands for, I once spoke about this in Pirkei Avos, if you remember, years ago. Well, this must have been, even though I wasn't the thing, I did 5 years ago over here on the Zoom. And I said, by the fifth parak in Pirkei Avos, Asura Mamores, okay, Asura, 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 what's the word Asura? The concept of Yud. Yud is the smallest letter of the alphabet. Yet it stands for the Yisoid of Kedusha. That because without the Yud, without 10, which is the first 10, is the lowest level of Kedusha, which means you can't make a Kedusha, a Borchu, etc., in Kaddish, unless you have 10. Yisoid Kim Nitza Badas Kale, the sense of Tila B'tzibur. That's the Yisoid of any type of Kedusha, Tahara, can only come from the Yisoid that has to be at least that 10. That's the basis Yisoid of Tahara and Kedusha. And the Chasam Sofer says, for example, he says, interesting, he says, the only bracha where you have tahara, the word tahara there, is only one bracha, not in Birchas HaMazon, not in any other brachas that you make, except in the Birchas Men Sholesh, b'kedusha u'b'tahara, by Alamichya. That's what he said, kedusha tahara. He said, that's why that has a special Kedusha, that bracha, he says, the Chasam Sofer says this, that the Sofik bracha and Sofik deraisa, that the din of Alamichya is a shortening of the Birchas HaMazon. It includes the first three. We have from Hazon, from Alakoyel, and from Yerushalayim, all in that particular bracha. It's a kitzur of Birchas HaMazon, and it has Kedusha Tahara. The only bracha that has Kedusha Tahara, he says. He says it's a bracha that has to be very medactic in that particular bracha. That Sofik bracha is also Luchum. So he says, for the Pshat over here, I want to say, it could be that the Yud, that will say Pshat, I will say Pshat, Zroyim, Kochim, Noshim Zikin, and the Nun, and the Yud stands for Tahara, but that's the Yud is the basis of Tahara, the Ois Yud is the Yisoid of Kiddush and Tahara, and Mem is Mayesh. That's what I wanted to say, maybe to answer the Balaturim, because he just brings the five, doesn't bring the other one. That particular point. So if you accept one of these two answers, okay. If not, you have to let me know if you have another answer. I have another answer. But we see over here in this particular point that the Men Zakunim that we saw on the Shoyim gave Shoyim as Pasim. But as we said over here, all is Beremes in this particular parsha. A tremendous remorse over here. Even the word pasim. What's the word pasim? And they all discussion of Rashi, the others, and some hold this like a design and a little what you call a undershirt and so forth. What different, whether it's colored or not. What it's a whole discussion over here. But they say that the concept of pasim and Balakunim brings down constant a whole bunch of things on this. What he said is the pay stands for 80. Pay is 80. And Samach Yud Mem is 110. Pasim, Samach Yud Mem is 110. He said in there, you see the remes that hold you there because of that Psaidus Pasim, that little shirt that he gave him for $2, the little shirt that caused all the trouble. Look what it caused. 80 years he was the leader of Mitzrayim when he was 30 years old till 110. And he lived 110. So in the white possum is the whole Yisrael of Yosef. Parson Pei, 80. 80 years he was a Mitzrayim, he was a leader, and he lived 110 years. And the word Parson together adds up 190. 190? What's that 190 over here? 190 was Cates. 400 years is supposed to be in Golos. Took off 190. Took off 190, made 210. That's of course what came over here. So that is possum. By Yosef over there, it took off 190 years and made only 210 years in Mitzrayim. But this is having certain that everything happened over here was to be, I want to bring out the point was Min HaShemayim. And this is the way it was supposed to happen. That's not shot that they wasn't really in their control already in that sense. That's why you can't, in a sense, it's hard to, like many times a person, you see, you feel you're doing something and you're doing it, that it's like being done. You're like being led into it, so forth, at that particular point. The Chofetz Chaim asks, he says, why was Yosef punished altogether? He says, why was he punished? And he saw that they, what he said, they saw that they ate what you call Eiv Menachai before the animal was dead and so forth. And he said, without Shechita, ever. See, and all these things, what it was with the Shvachos and so forth. So he told the father, what should you do? Tell the father, Toelus. No, you're allowed to say for Toelus, the father should correct his children. He trained them, he mechanic them. So why is he held accountable to such an extent to be sold to an Eved, go to Mitzrayim, and suffer the what you call the dignities of being a slave because he called them slaves and so forth, and to suffer with Potiphar's wife because he accused them of this, and to suffer with Shechita and so forth because of the soil that they shucked and made the blood, etc., etc. Why? What happened over here? So the Chofetz Chaim says, Taka, you can't, you have to judge the Yisoid of Lashon Hara according to the individual as well, and according to the level of the person, like every mitzvah and every aveira that a person does. Like I was telling you before, the whole approach over here, because, for example, by the din of Lashon Hara, there's a, take the word shtika. There are five different concepts that you have to have in mind, even in the case where you're permitted to talk Lashon Hara. First of all, it should be for a benefit, and not for your ulterior motive that you want to get even, whatever it may be, even if it's what you want to do is correct. But it has to be with a pure, not only for the purity of benefit for the person and so forth. Also, it has to be, in a sense, not exaggerate and so forth at that particular point. And if it's possible, if you could circumvent and you could accomplish it without Lashon Hara, then you have to try and do that. And also, you have to know for sure. If something's wrong, for example, with a shidduch, a person is sick, you have to know clearly, not he said, she said, there's rumors going around. No. Claw. Actually, the person before you say anything. And the fifth thing is, of course, the hay, or hadin, according to the halacha, then they're mekabel the halacha from you. That all goes in the word shtika. Shtika. Sheyizboinei, toeles, and yisoyvei, kava mishko, and hadin. All these five things that I just said now. But the tithe to Yosef was, at his level, that be true, going to the father, that's a correct thing to do. But why didn't you first confront them? Why didn't you talk to the brothers? You told the brothers you had a dream. You told the brothers the dream. Told the brothers the dream. Why didn't you tell them over here? Maybe they would explain to you what it is. And the taki was. They, as the Medrash brings, they ate a ben bekua. Ben bekua means a little animal that was born in the mother, where you shechted the mother, and the little animal was
Yes.
born inside. You're allowed to eat without shechita. You could just kill it, take a piece, and you could eat, because it's called geshochten from the mother already. So therefore, if they would have known that, they would have, and second of all, maybe they would have admitted to you if something was wrong, or maybe they would have showed you that it's not wrong, and that you thought they were wrong. That nekuda, he says, that madregi of Yosef HaTzadik, that nekuda that you didn't confront them first to see what could be done, that led to the whole moment. Even though, as you see over there by Rivka, Rivka was the same idea, what Rivka did over here, that she didn't utilize Lashon Hara. Question already.
Yeah.
I can't believe I didn't even start yet. Wow. But so you
You're
get.
done.
But just, I want to bring out this point. So you see, that for the smallest thing over here, what happened? That just this little point, this little nekuda, the Chofetz Chaim says, our person is held accountable. Or your person has to think, like I say, Moitzi Dibo Huksil. Person that says a word is a fool. What is the word Dibo? Dibo stands for the means the word, a word, Dibo. Moitzi Dibo, you talk words and you're a fool. You turn to be a fool. Why? Because the word Dibo tells you the answer. Dibo stands for Deyo, Bina, and Haskel. That means I always say Deyo, Bina, and Seichel. Before you say the word, these three things should be in your mind. Is it the Deyo with Das? Bina is understanding, and it would say what I'm saying over here, or should I keep my mouth shut? You have to think before you speak, and that's no matter what it is. And that was the concept over here too. That Rivka didn't say Lashon Hara and Esav because she used a different thing. Why should I say Lashon Hara to Yitzchak if I could use the story of having a shidduch? So we see this concept over here, as far as in the greatness, as far as Yosef is concerned, that that was a tie to him. And that kind of caused that the whole evolving of one thing leads to another in that particular sense. And in that sense, ended up in a triumph. Now, the concept we see over here, we saw, oh, as you say, the Kol Bonav in that particular sense. But still, even though Yaakov had a good intention, again, we see again a good intention that he wanted the brothers to emulate him in the Chochmah. That you call what you call what you call that you call that the concept of if you follow the Chochmah and so forth is Tarba Chochmah in that particular sense, but still you have to understand how other people reason, which means you might have a good point that you want to bring out, but the other person doesn't understand your point. He sees only that you gave him a gift. He sees that you gave him the excited parcel. And the Gemara says, you gave him that little shirt and so forth. And that's what they saw. They didn't see your thoughts in your mind that you want to make him a chokhmah, they should copy from him and emulate him and so forth. If you say, kina soifim taba chokhmah, that I look at the chokhmah itself, I look at the chokhmah, kina soifim, oh, you should also be a chokhmah. Try, go. But when you see something else is coming in, or a materialistic thing that's brought in over here, you look at that right away and you say, oh, he's giving him gifts and so forth. So it's misinterpreted in that sense. And that's why you have to be careful. It says that you should bein bein avonim. Don't treat them overtly. Don't treat them materialistically differently than the other children in that sense. In fact, he more says in Bava Basra, even Chassid, if a child is a Rosha, if the child is not going to Derech HaYosha, you still shouldn't take away the Yerusha. You can never tell the Eidikon that who knows what's going to be over there. Don't cut them off completely. Don't do that. More sense, more master. But we see the concept of a person has to be careful in dealing with these little different little things that can come out a whole chuvah, which we'll discuss later on at that particular point when it comes to Vayetzileu, Miyodom, Ruve. What's that Vayetzileu? What kind of Hatzolah was that? What kind of saving Yosef by throwing him into a pit where there's scorpions and snakes? Vayetzileu? What kind of Hatzolah is that? So that we'll discuss next time.
Raya, what a cliffhanger.
What?
I said, what a cliffhanger.